Yes, sir.
Amen. We thank you for these words. Anything up? I'll go back with Dad, tongues of interpretation. I got it Monday morning. It was Monday morning. And actually, something was kind of on my heart. And it was about making a big financial decision, investing in something, which doesn't make sense. I'm like, I just put that over to the side just in case, but then the next day it was there again. And then Monday morning, I woke up and said, not just confirm, do it now. I'm like, So I grab my laptop and I put it on there, go to my banking system, I'm going to go. And even the bank went, are you sure this is a lot more than what you normally do? The bank goes, and I went, done. I'm like, all right, now. Okay, I got to be obedient, right? You say you love me, you don't do it. And so I didn't know what's going on. But I went to work, and I was so thankful. I called Dad. Hopefully he was going to still be there by the time I got there. It was late morning. And Dad's prophecy went, I give you wisdom, like Solomon, to do certain things and act. And it was about this, and it was just, it was perfect confirmation. I went, I sure don't want to, can you imagine having the boss's credit card? You did what? I thought you told me to. Oh, I didn't. What do you mean? I thought you told me. No, I did not tell you. Anyways, okay. Before we go into the teaching of building your faith, I have a testimony to tell you. I have a joke. Hopefully, I talk right on board. There are three pastors got together. It's three of the most powerful pastors on the planet. Because they're going to solve all the world's problems. If we can focus together like Peter, James, and John, we can come together, we can do this. And what they were doing is they're going, we need the best there are. And so the first candidate comes in, he goes, I'm the best. And you go, okay, what's your specialty? He goes, I'm gifted in prophecy. They go, well, anybody can prophesy to say. They said it right there, come with the prophecy. He goes, no, but I am gifted at it. They go, give us an example. He went, I have given dates, times, and situations exactly what was going to happen, what they were to do, like Samuel the seer did. And they went, can you validate this? He goes, here's the books and here's all these affidavits. They went, okay, yeah, can we use that? They go, absolutely, we can use that. A guy gifted in prophecy, would you like Samuel to be here? Yeah, we need a seer. Okay, all right. Next guy comes up and they go, okay, what are you gifted in? He goes, I am gifted in music. They go, music? They kind of look at each other because that's not one of the nine manifestations, right? But there is a certain giftings. And they go, okay, how can music gift us? And he goes, well, I'm so gifted in music, it's kind of like King David. When King David was able to play with King Saul, a supernatural thing would happen. They go, okay. Can you give us an example? He goes, actually, through my music and through some of these concerts, people have been delivered from demonic influences. Healings have happened. And they go, can you validate it? He goes, yeah, here we go. I got a book right here. We got all this stuff. They start watching these videos. They go, can we use that? They go, yeah, we can use that. We didn't even know what it was. Then the next guy comes in. They go, okay, what are you gifted in? He goes, I am gifted in hindsight. So they look at each other. They go, hindsight? He goes, yes. And they go, that doesn't help us at all. And he went, I see that now.
Okay,
my corny joke. Build your faith like the Canaanite woman. So if we turn to Matthew chapter 15. And what I would really like to do is paint a picture with what Yahweh and through Christ put on my heart when I got to read Matthew 15. As I wanted to go read my two chapters, what am I supposed to read? And every once in a while, it's not easy because I get like a revelation to read 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Okay, well, then it must be 10-11. And then I got done reading 10. No, read 11. I'm like, oh, great. Now where am I supposed to go? And it was Matthew 15. Okay, and sometimes I'm wrong. I go to read something, I go, I don't think that's what he's telling me to do. But sometimes he's right. Sometimes it is right. We're walking by faith. And all of us are a work in progress. But in Matthew, I want you to imagine going to Andrew. Are you okay over there?
Yes, she's fine.
She's spilling coffee in her Bible.
I think she's trying to recline.
Esther,
there we go. Oh. What I would like to paint a picture is people that would appear you're failing, And sometimes you're not going to want to get your hopes up, because all of us have got our hopes up, and it appeared we went backwards, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get my hopes up again, right? We've been there. Imagine somebody going to Andrew Womack to get healed, and he looks at her, turns around, and walks off. Would that be discouraging? If he's healing people, he looks at you and he goes, and then him on all the rest and walk off. What would you do? What if he did it twice? He changed, hey, right here. And he looks at you and he turned around and walked off again. Would that discourage you?
Yeah.
Would you quit? Probably be embarrassed. Most people would. I've been there. I've quit. But what I want to explain, just because we don't see the results, it doesn't mean it didn't work. It doesn't mean it wasn't profitable either. It might not have been the results you thought, but faith, certainty, always works. Here's an example. How many people have tried to walk on water? Don, I'm glad you raised your hand, because that's specifically who I was hoping to raise your hand. Did you walk on water?
Tried.
Okay.
Failed.
It appeared you failed. Are you giving a testimony now? How many people have tried to walk on water?
Yeah.
That's not failure. That's building your faith resume.
Yeah.
Just because you don't see the results that you saw, and I want to ask you this: when Yahushua, Christ Jesus, watched you get out of the boat or what you did, what do you think he did? Do it again. I'm not doing that again. He's going to go, do it again. Just because you didn't see the results doesn't mean it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 15. We're going to go down to
chapter 5.
15.
Oh, we're wrong.
Page 16. Matthew's a very convenient chapter, because a lot of chapters are on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
Page 16, the Gospel called Matthew.
Verse 21.
And so this is going to be the three levels of certainty, or three levels of faith, of the Canaanite woman. Now, before we read about the Canaanite woman, the Canaanite is the Strong's number G5478. Kananios. That's how you say it. It's like a blue letter Bible. Kananios. It's not even close to Canaanite. So this is going to be the Kananios woman. So that's how you say Canaanite. Kind of interesting.
Explain who the Canaanite is.
We're going to. And going, verse 21, and going forth, you see right above the Kananios woman, the Canaanite woman, daughter healed. And going forth from thence, Yahushua retired into the parts of Tyre and Sidon. And lo, a Canaanite woman from those bounds coming forth began crying out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. It's a neat thing my dad did at teaching once. He pointed it out. The Pharisees and the Sadducees would call him teacher. Teacher, I love the word of promise, because I can even hear the voice. Teacher, they say this. They wouldn't call him the son of David, because when you call him the son of David, you're acknowledging he was the Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so here she is. She, what does she say? Son of David, my daughter is miserably demonized. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples coming forth began requesting him, saying, dismiss her! Because she's crying out after us. Get rid of her. Somebody, security, please get rid of this woman. What did this woman do wrong?
Nothing.
You don't know. And that's good, because most Christians don't know either, because they know nothing about who the Hebrews were. And they know, we have the Hellenized Christian church know nothing before the Gospel of John.
Yeah.
They don't. Why are they trying to say dismiss her? Turn to Acts, keep your finger, go to Acts 10. That's page 130. When Peter's on the housetop and he sees, like Josh and Glenn said, it's like a big parachute coming down with all these unlawful things for him to eat. Well, they weren't for him to eat. He's looking at unclean things. Don't eat these things. Don't do those things.
Lobster.
Right? Okay, think of something that's night and day for you and I. What should you not do? Don't punch somebody in the face. Yeah, it's happened night and day. That's not a good law. I don't know. Don't drink in excess. But think of something that is not debatable. This is black and white. Now, there are some gray things, right? But during this, Peter gets to see this parachute coming down, the animals, and Jesus Christ tells him to go eat. And he's like, I'm not breaking the law. This has got to be a test. Happens three times. And Yahweh, through Christ, tells Peter to go to the house of Cornelius. Cornelius is like the Canaanite woman. Okay? She is not a Jew. Cornelius is not a Jew. They're not circumcised. Verse 27.
What chapter? I'm sorry, Ernie.
Page 130. Chapter 10. So this could be an easy thing to possibly humble somebody. You could say, how many animals were on Noah's Ark? And you go, okay, then you go to here's another thing. You're going, well, what in the world's going on here, right? Mm-hmm. Well, verse 27, conversing with him, he went in and finding him, many come together and said unto them, this is Peter, you well know, how unlawful it is for a Jew to be joining himself or coming in unto another race. The unlawful word is, Strong's number G0111, and it's like against the law. I can't do this. I'm not supposed to be here. I can think of a lot of things that I'm not supposed to do. If Yahweh told you to go do it, you're like, man, hey, everybody's here. I'm not supposed to be here, but I had a vision. Right? But here, Peter wasn't supposed to talk to centurions. Jews were not supposed to go to anybody but the Jews. If they're unbelievers, they're out there. Jews hung out with Jews, and if you want to become a Jew, get circumcised, observe the law. Here's the Ten Commandments. Do you want to leave your God behind, sexual immorality, fornication? No. Well, then you're not going to be a Jew. I want to serve the God, the creator of the heavens and earth. Okay, get rid of sex, get rid of alcohol, get rid of cutting thy neighbor's goods, honor your mother and thy father, thou shalt not murder. Will you do those things? I will do those things. Okay, circumcise this person, you're in, right? This woman was not from the, she's not, obviously she's not circumcised, but she really isn't circumcised. So what's happening is Jesus Christ goes, she is a Canaanite woman. He's not supposed to heal her. He's not supposed to have anything to do with her. So we'll go back to verse 23 in Matthew 15. I'll go back to verse 23. But he answered her not a word. Why? Because it was against the law. It was against the law. According to Acts 10, and then I don't have any of the Levitical or the words that are scripture in Deuteronomy, you're not supposed to have anything to do with her. And the disciples coming forward began requesting him, saying, dismiss her, because she is crying out after us. Think about this. I thought about this. They said, feed the children, right? Because you got to feed the children. And I want to do a teaching and go, would Yahweh feed the Amalekite children? No. He told Saul to wipe out the Amalekites. What children are we talking about? We're to take care of the children. If they're not Christians, we're going to say, no, do you want to become a Christian? Now, there could be exceptions to the rules. Verse 24. So first she's crying out. He answered her not or ignored her. They said, get rid of her. It's like, I like thinking they call in security. Verse 24, but he answering said, I was not sent forth save unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Did she turn around and walk off?
No.
Man, and I like to think of myself, if I was at Andrew Womack or Kenneth Copeland, and they goes, I'm not here for you. And we had this at pastor's lunch, they don't think we're saved. You don't agree to our doctrine right here, this stuff that's not in the Bible? Right. You're not saved. Oh. But what would you do? I think I'd probably be, I got my hopes up. I try to walk on water, I sunk. I'm going home. What does this woman do?
Persists.
And she, coming, began bowing down. What kind of woman is this? Jesus Christ went to believers and his hometown tried to kill him. He went to the Jews and they rejected him. What's this woman doing? She began bowing down to him, saying, Lord, help me. It's the second time. But he answering said, it is not seemly to take the loaf of the children and cast to the little dogs. And right here is where I think that there was a big pause. As I was reading this, I was getting to see it from a whole other perspective. Shot down twice.
Yeah.
Is what it appeared.
Called the dog.
And you know what I think she's doing here? I think he's walking And she's problem solving. What do you got to lose? What do I got to lose? It looks like it's not working, but what do I got to lose? And I think she just starts thinking. And she's thinking, and she's thinking, and she's thinking, and she's thinking. And what we're going to find out is she's actually building something. What is she building? Her faith. Her faith. Now, Yahweh built Abraham's faith, or Abraham built his own certainty on Mount Moriah. Because before he actually took the knife and killed Isaac, the messenger said, Abraham, Abraham is. Now I know. Now I know. Abraham's certainty became teleos. It was perfect. Complete. He goes, now I know. And this woman, what does she do? In verse 27, she didn't give up. And she said, true Lord, even the little dogs eat of the crumbs which are falling from the table and their master. She's, think about this, she's arguing. And argue is just, argue doesn't mean a bad thing. But she think about this discourse as he's walking off. What do you think Peter and the rest of you, somebody get ready, we got lots of, we're busy. His wife's, I think about all of Jesus Christ's assistants. Hey, he's a busy guy. Who are you? Do you have an appointment? Get him out of here. No, you got an appointment here, right? We just watched Mr. Rogers. He has a guy making people appointments. You got 20 minutes, right? There's another one where a guy wanted to meet President Trump. And the guy goes, you got 10 minutes. I said, do you understand? I think about those people. And here she is. She doesn't go away. And this is where I believe something incredible happened. Something changed. Changed. And I believe that Christ Jesus got a word of knowledge. Did he know everything? Is he our princely leader? Does he have to produce faith?
Yes.
Right. And here he is, and he's going, I gotta obey what my father says. And I believe right hand, when she says that again, he gets a word of knowledge. Bing! Think about getting an email. Do you think of that noise with the Facebook Messenger? And Yehoshua goes and reads it, and he goes, here's his father, gives him a message. And what does Yehoshua now say in verse 28? Melania, please read that.
Then answering, Yehoshua said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it done for thee as thou desirest. And her daughter was healed from that hour.
What did he say? Who healed the daughter?
She.
Can you imagine Yehoshua walking? I got places to go. I got things to do. And all of a sudden, Yahweh sends a message to my son. What is it? She's healed. And you went, she's healed? Can you imagine the look on Yehoshua's face going, whoa, you did it! You did it! Did what, sir? What did she do? I told you she'd do something different. You just healed your daughter. How did she heal the daughter? Did she quit?
No.
Trying to walk on water. You did it. You got out of the boat. And how many times are we going to feel like walking away? What if she would have stopped that the second time? Yahweh recorded that for you and for me. Was she an Israelite? No. Was she on the itinerary?
Nope.
And what did she do? Through her certainty, through her faith, she had Yahweh do a bypass. Look at that! Wow! Can you imagine Yehoshua that night? Can you imagine the disciples going, Master, explain this thing to me! How did she have their faith in this? You know, here's Capernaum and all the rest of these places, and he would have been, I could imagine as I read that, I saw its face just light up. Mm-hmm. You did it! You did it! Go home! And then Yahweh records that for us. And this is also recorded in, I think it's Mark 7. So that is the teaching here. Now we're going to look at a couple other things. But I want you to look at the Canaanite woman. Because there's some things in your life that Yahweh might say, no, it's not working. All right, I got a better thing to do. But why did he record that about the Canaanite woman? What was her first answer? It looks like a no to me. What was her second answer? It looks like another no. And she's not making friends either, is she? Sons of thunder are like, want to call the fire down this chick? I can do it. No. You recorded it going, how many things are you going after? And the door's closed. And the door's closed. And the door's closed. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, Father, We're going to digress for just a second. Turn to Proverbs chapter. We're going to turn to Proverbs 6:11. Page 6:11. Perfecting your faith. Perfecting your certainty. Building your faith like the Canaanite woman, the Cananeos. Cananeos. She increased her feather, her certainty to like three different levels. And it wasn't like something else. Jesus Christ was going, come on, you got it. You got it. Oh, you're so close, you got it. No, he said, denied. Send another application. Denied. Oh. What did she do? She's up there. She just looked around going, what else is that going to do? Right? If somebody would read, we're on page 611.
Is it 611?
Yeah. The Proverbs chapter 4.
Oh, 4.
Did I say 6? I'm out of.
You meant page 611.
At page 611.
Proverbs 4.
Rachel, would you please read verse 23 of chapter 4, Proverbs?
Above all that thou must be guarded, keep thou thy heart.
That's right there. What are you supposed to guard?
Your heart.
Your heart.
Above all, guard your heart. And that's why this next thing is so important.
For out of it...
No, not the next part. The next part I'm getting ready to say, sorry. I should have clarified. Here's something that's real important. You should put a footnote right here. If you try not, you fail not. It's a good doctrine, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you don't try, you never fail. Is that a good doctrine?
No.
You weren't supposed to say yes. You're supposed to say no.
No, because I failed.
Try not, fail not. That's what I always believe. There's a robot commercial or movie with these robots. And this one guy, he's a loser of the robots. He goes, try not, fail not. And it always worked for me. Right? Well, that's why I try not, fail not. Hey, I've got to guard my heart. Hey, I'm tired of getting hurt. I'm not going to try anything else. Dad did a teaching. He shared a teaching with me and with the guy about taking a risk. You know, Yahweh says, I was giving a prophecy to somebody recently, just recording, and here's at a whim, and here's somebody needs something. I'm like, all right, I get on my knees, and things start going out. And Matthew 6 says, worry not for tomorrow, right? Okay, worry not for tomorrow. And then the next thing come out of my mouth, and I love what a wonderful thing it is to get to prophesy and pray for people. Because profound things come out of my mouth, then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, that's me. Maybe that's for me. Worry not for tomorrow, right? But you're still supposed to sow. For tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not supposed to worry about tomorrow. Yeah, but get your butt busy today. Tell what you sow, you'll reap. Well, I don't want to worry about tomorrow. I'm not going to sow. Man, come on, dude. Grow up. Guard your heart. Well, I'm supposed to guard my heart. But what did the Canaanite woman do? Did she guard her heart? I believe she did. And I believe we should too. What's the worst case scenario?
No.
It's not going to work. I got... What else am I doing? Here's a Canaanite woman. My daughter's demonized. Okay, how are you going to go out? All right. I love that. Being raised by dad, I think about the way Izzy and I played football. Coach Cox was like, you guys are a different breed. I think it was really how dad goes, if you're going to lose, just make it very unprofitable for the other guy. So my coach goes, yeah, you guys just, there's just something different about you. It's like a honey badger thing. I'm like, yeah, you know, I know what that is, man. I know I'm going to get beat up. I can take it. And he was like, how did you do that? I'm like, well, I had a lot of practice. Izzy is my big brother. I lost a lot of fights. So but if you're going to lose, all right, okay, confront it. If it doesn't work, can I handle it? I can handle it. Guard your heart because we don't want to go backwards with our pistis or faith. But it is also time to grow up. Can I go, hey, confront, hey, no chance of survival. I love that on Lord of the Rings, the dwarf goes, most certain death, no chance of survival, count me in. He's ready to go, it's Gimli, or something like that. But that's what we should do. Christ is coming back, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right, forget about tomorrow, but today I'm going to kick some butt. I'm going to kick some serious tail. I'm going to be like the Canaanite woman. But who knows what's going to happen. Nikki, imagine we're going to see that video someday.
Yeah.
Some demonized girl. Awesome. Ding. Mm-hmm. I bet you they became Jews after that. They're like, wow.
I want this guy.
Turn to Luke 11. Chapter, this page 71. But I never, before looking and preparing for this teaching, I never imagine Jesus Christ walking and getting a word of knowledge, almost like a message. It's done. What's done? They're ready. Who's ready? Let's go, guys. You ever had a message that was exciting? Hey, it's complete. You know, every once in a while I'll get one on UPS. Their package is another. What did I order? Whoops. Wait a minute. Well, here's Jesus Christ going, it's done. All right, well, here's Yahweh giving, delivering messages to his son. Chapter 11, verse 5.
Here we are right there.
Page 71 in the raw for him. I wanted to share one other thing. Let's turn. We'll come back and remind me. We'll go back to Luke 18. Return to Luke 18. I want to go back to Luke 11, please.
Verse
18, Luke. I'll tell you the verse second. 35. Mel, would you start reading in verse 35 for me?
Mm-hmm. It came to pass as he was drawing near beside the road drawing near unto Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting beside the road begging, and hearkening unto a multitude moving along. He inquired what this might be, and they told him Yahushua of Nazareth is passing by. And he cried aloud, saying, Yahushua, son of David, have mercy upon me. And they that were going before began to rebuke him that he might hold his peace. But he, by so much...
So that's one try. There's one. What is he? He's blind. The healer's going by. What's the first thing he does? He acknowledges who he is. What a great way for us to go out. Yahushua, son of David. Do you think his dad liked to hear that? Mm-hmm. It's recorded a lot. Maybe we should do that. I'm at my end of the rope. Son of David, here I am, but hey, your dad pays the light bills. I mean, he's got a pretty good resume, and here this guy is, they rebuked him. You ever had your feelings hurt? Mm-hmm. That maybe the first time you read a Bible study, maybe people snicker at you a little bit. Well, that's about time I'm going to Bible study. I remember hearing our cousin Christy. She said, when I was down in Texas one series, she goes, well, I would go to church, but when I do go to church, they go, oh, they get so excited, it makes me so uncomfortable, that's why I don't go to church. I'm looking at her going, really? And I guarantee it, if they didn't get excited, she'd be like, whoa, they weren't even excited to see me. You got your excuses, whatever it is. But this guy, he had a good excuse to shut his mouth. They rebuked him. That's one time. And they keep reading. They rebuked him, but he, by so much more, louder, was crying out. What do you got to lose? Are we going to be embarrassed? All of us in this room have something that is so big on our heart. There's something we're so vulnerable. All of us do. He was really neat. Okay. Come back to that vulnerable thing. I was feeling sorry for myself, believe it or not, I do that a lot. Every once in a while, we're out camping, and here I'm with my mom, my dad, and all the kids. I'm driving, I see all these families together, and the families here, and families. I go to the grocery store, I'm like, this is not the place for bachelors. There's families everywhere. And if you're not single, you're gonna go, it reminds you, you're alone. I'm sitting there going, you're alone. No hotties to look at, no pretty scenery. I'm not even having a conversation. These are just thoughts. Mm-hmm. All of us feel sorry for ourselves. We look at ourselves and go, it's just a tough life, but I'll keep going on. That's what I was doing. I wouldn't have a conversation. And as I sat there on the camping chair, mom and dad are there, the kids, this and that. It's just a brief moment. I kind of look over at mom, and then this is what's communicating to me. What about her? And it was like clear as day. And I went, I'm thinking, you ever had those? Obviously, I do. All of a sudden, you get a clear question. You're like, I look at my mom. I'm like, what do you mean, what about her? What do you think she's worried about? What do you think she's concerned about? What do you think she's disappointed about? And I sat there and I looked at my mom for a second and she just enjoyed herself and I went, I have no idea. Aaron, maybe part of your problem is you're focusing so much on what you're missing. What about these people? And all of a sudden I started looking and going, what does she want? She doesn't look depressed at all. How about your dad? Try him. Man, he's a tough one. They started looking around going, man, look at all these people with wants and these other things. And all of a sudden I was like, golly, do you know what happened to my loneliness? Gone. That's ridiculous. What about me? Especially this time of Thanksgiving. Yeah. Here's blind Bartimaeus. I think it's blind Bartimaeus. This is what Mark Hankins at Graham. He just starts screaming louder, love and Sunday! Shut up, honey! Sunday! Louder and shut up! He's louder and louder and louder. But he said, by so much more, was crying out the second time, oh, son of David, have mercy on me. And standing still, or stopping in his tracks. Mm-hmm. Does that mean he was going somewhere?
Yeah.
What the hell? James, John, what's going on here? Who is this guy? We'll take care of him, sir. And standing still, Yehoshua commanded him to be led unto him. Show me this guy. Man, they had an itinerary. Sir, and their little sundial watches. Sir, we're supposed to be here. And then he's like, one second. Oh, great. James, make sure you contact the people hoping wherever they're going. And Jesus commanded him, so to be led unto him. And when he had drawn near, he questioned him, said, be seeking, be asking, be knocking. Be seeking, be asking, be knocking. What do you want? let me think here. Two words. What do you want? Be seeking, be asking. And he's a blind guy. The blind guy says, Lord, that I may recover my sight. I want my sight. I just want to see. Here's a guy that wants to see. I'm lonely because I don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah.
This guy can't see. Are you kidding me? Where am I? Is it beautiful? Okay. Lord, that I might see. And Yehoshua said unto him, and what I believe happened again here? Bing! Yehoshua's like, and Yehoshua said unto him, recover sight. What's it say next?
Thy
faith hath saved thee. You did it! You cracked the code! Was it easy?
No.
Did he get turned down twice?
Yeah.
He saw his eyes open. God, I can see it! But I can imagine Yehoshua going, dude, you did it! You did it! Where Izzy and I went hunting. And Yahweh told me to say I was going to the biggest buck. I feel like an idiot. And then Izzy came driving out there, he's walking up, the animal's lying down, going, it worked! And Izzy looks at, Izzy drives up, and he goes, yeah, I haven't seen anything all day, I'm standing in front of a deer. I never shot the gun before, I've never been really deer hunting before. And Yahweh, there's a lot of faith in things happen. I'm standing, looking at this thing, going, it worked. Actually, I started crying when it happened. I couldn't believe it. That wasn't about a deer. It's about faith, it's about walking out, about taking a risk. What if you look like an idiot? I'm going to look like an idiot. What's going to hurt everybody else's faith? You just do what I tell you to do. Say you're going to do it. Oh, I want to shoot the biggest one. You know what happened to the rest of those hunters? Man, they looked at me like, this guy right here. I'm like, man, I never shot, but I did. I'm standing over the deer. Izzy comes driving out. I see his truck driving up. And he gets out of the truck. I ain't seen nothing all right. Blah, 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 like that. I didn't hear anything. He walks up and starts walking me. I'm like, you did it! I did it! But Yahweh put me in a position. It's time to grow up. And he's doing that with all of us. Grow up. Well, what if I fail? You know, guard your heart.
Set your house.
Yeah, no, guard your heart. And then gonna go, what did Bartimaeus, what does blind guy have to lose? I'll be blind. So you don't get a girlfriend. You don't get whatever it is. We survive? Yeah. Is he going to be proud if he'll tell you, hey, the desire will change. You guys, all of us have had that. We're working on something. I don't got the desire anymore. You're going to say, they'll go that way. But this guy changed the direction of the Messiah by his faith. Can you imagine? President Trump is going in his ATV convoy. Woo, 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 woo. Hey! I was like, what the heck's going on here? Don't go by him. Who is it? There's some hillbilly with a PA system up on the telephone pole. What? You gotta be kidding me. And all of a sudden they come all the way over. What's going on here? And this guy changed Jesus Christ's course. And then by his faith, he received his sight. And what's even more wonderful about that? Who recorded it?
Yeah.
Yahweh did. Yahweh's watching you. He's watching you guys.
He's going to look.
He's looking. He's going, man, great job. Guard your heart. Luke chapter 11, page 71. So those are those two people. Now, he was a Jew. The Canaanite wasn't. And you'll see that sometimes Jesus Christ just walked up, you're healed, this is done, he spoke the words. And there'll be other times you go, it's your faith. What's that mean? What does it mean? I'm not quite sure what it means. But I know to the Canaanite woman, you know how hard that would have been for me if Jesus Christ kept walking? Mm-hmm. Well, at least she showed up. And that's true. And if she would have walked away, at least she asked. Mm-hmm. But she didn't. Now, how many times are you going to say the answer is still no? Well, what else I got to lose? And then he'll change your desire and be like me. If you don't get consumed with your lack, fight and then go back and go, what's missing in her life? What's missing in her life? Here's Melania. She's sitting right here. What's missing in her life, people? Just focus for a second. Go.
It's me.
What do you think she sits there and wonders or wishes? And go, I don't know. But it's a good way to take your mind off yourself. Luke chapter 11, verse 5, if somebody would read that.
And he said unto them, who from among you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, supply me with 3 loaves, for as much as a friend of mine hath come off a journey unto me, and I have not what I can set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, be not disturbing me. Already the door hath been fastened, and my children with me are in bed. I cannot rise and give thee.
And I say unto thee, even though he will not give him rising or a gyro because of his being a friend of his, because at least of his inopportunity, he will rouse himself and give him as many as he needeth. I therefore saying unto you, be asking and it shall be given unto you. Be seeking. This guy's, you're banging on the door. He's going to get up just to get rid of you. Just get rid of this guy. And he did these things. He'd go, hey, just because it didn't work the first time, what do you got to lose?
Yeah.
And then what is he stirring in your life? I got to give a prophecy to somebody last night going, you are... There's some things in this person's heart, this stranger, and the thing in their heart was a desire, but it was certain failure. Because I got to give a prophecy, you are gonna have a horse and a trailer and a truck. And I don't know if it was accurate or not, and she went, oh, that sounds so great. But if I did get that, how would I ever afford to take care of those things? And as I listened to it, and I went, was that accurate? What did it do? They went, it's what I needed to hear, but I could never take care of those things. And then I was able to go back, and as I was ministering to her, going to go, wait a minute, if Yahweh told you to go after this thing, then he'll take care of those things.
He wouldn't set you up.
And if it's his desire in you, don't squelch his dreams. You ever had that? You had a bright idea, you go to a loved one, I got the best idea ever. What is it? And you go, then you tell them, they're like, alright.
Yeah.
And you're like, how many times do we do that to Yahweh? Because it's setting us up, it's too big. Be seeking, be asking, so you may find, be knocking, it shall be opened unto you. For whosoever asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, shall be opened. Then this is the next thing. What's in your heart? What is the thing you're looking at? Why are you walking on water? You aren't walking on water to impress other people. You aren't walking on water so that you could be accepted into another group. Why are you going to walk on water, Donna?
By faith.
To please your Father. What are you being called to right now? What is this thing you have? This desire he's calling you up to, that you're up against. Is it to please your Father? And this is what he's going to say next. But which is the father from among yourselves whom the son will ask for a fish, who instead of a fish will give him a scorpion or serpent? Or ask of an egg, and who will give him a scorpion? If therefore ye being evil know how to be giving good gifts unto your children, How much rather will the Heavenly Father give Ruach Kodesh to them who ask? What are you asking for? Somebody to get healed? What are you asking for? To be delivered from financial debt? Delivered from a sexual immorality thing? A lust of the flesh? What do you want to get delivered for? Then how much does he want to ask you? Just because it's not working in your own mind doesn't mean you're not building your faith like the woman, the Canaanite woman. So you keep building it and building it and walk on water again. And take Yahweh, let's go walk on water again. It might not be literally on water. Let's go do something else. Let's go curse a fig tree. Let's go resurrect something. So you can see, but the Canaanite woman, she was able to, you think you got a lot up against you? Can you imagine the Hebrews talking to her? He's a Jew! You're a Canaanite! You were supposed to be wiped out! You were supposed to, possibly, I don't know which tribe she was. But you had, she didn't give up. What did she do? Boom. And then the blind man changed the course by their faith. You're going to go, but your faith can also change the course too. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you. But as I looked out on my niece, Ruth, I couldn't imagine her mother or father or any of her older siblings ever giving her anything wonderful. And how much more are we when we come to you, when we look at what you gave to us? And some things in our heart, they're big. They're really heavy. But we give them to you, and we just thank you that we don't know how long our life is. And we don't know when your stuff's coming back. But if it is a righteous thing, and if it is a right thing, we don't worry about tomorrow, but we fight today. And we don't give up the good fight of faith. We do all that we can, and then we let tomorrow worry for tomorrow. And we thank you that as we look at your stories in the Word, we look at Naomi, we look at Esther, we look at James, we look at John, and we look at your heroes like King David. Let us, and help us, teach us to be like those heroes. To say, all we got is today. We glorify you, and we thank you for these words. Be not fearful. Do not be fearful of the future. It looks like certain doom. It absolutely does. But it always does. You live in a current evil age, and you have a roommate who is your old man who wants to haunt you. What is he going to do about tomorrow? Forget about him and forget about the current evil age. Resist the adversary. Cling to my word. Cling to my word. Cling to my word. Say, what is possible with certainty, with faith? What is possible with the creator of the universe? And what would he deny? What good thing would he deny me when he didn't deny me his own son? Reconcile those things with that, and you will raise your faith to raise the dead. Amen.
I think that.